privilege and the opportunity we have to come and share in the Word of God. Lord, we pray that you would speak to us through your Word and that you, God, would just give us more clarity and understanding and help us, Lord Jesus, to apply what has been given to us. And we trust, oh God, that you bless all those that have arrived, those that are still on the way. Give traveling mercies to those that are unable to join us in person, but maybe online. Pray that you speak to them where they are. And may you get all the glory and all the honor and all the praise from our gatherings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. And let me just read a few verses here. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become of saints. Verse 4, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know that no whoremonger nor unclean person nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. And wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. All right, we'll slip back over here to, I believe it's slide 3. And just some of the key statements. We started verse, I think it's verse 4 last, I think it's verse 4, but I'll get there in a second. It's verse 3. We started there last week and we didn't finish, but we will finish that tonight. This first statement is to be in the bride, you have to be remarried to the Word of God, which is Christ. To be in the bride, you have to be remarried to the Word of God, which is Christ. All right, and also. This next statement says, God loves a sweet-smelling savor of humility. Praise God. I think that's so important. No matter what the Lord does in your life, the greatest challenge is remain humble. It is so important to remain humble. The scripture actually tells us that he that exalts himself, God will bring down. But he that's humble, God will lift up, right? And so whatever God does in your life, just remain humble, be grateful, thankful, and realize that if it had not been for Jesus, you wouldn't have what you have and wouldn't be who you are. But just remain humble. That's a big, big thing that we all have to fight with. This next statement says, a true angel won't be worshiped. It's not worshiping of angels, it's a ministry of angels that comes from God. This morning I was teaching on Revelation 19:10, and there in the scripture is John trying to worship the angel that was revealing all these things in the book of Revelation to him, and how that angel said, no, don't worship me, but worship God. And I shared this with you all a few weeks ago, how You know, if you see any ministry so lifted up that the pastors accept and worship, you already know there's something wrong with that church. There's something wrong with that ministry. Because no ministry, no real true ministry will accept worship. Now, it's one thing about a compliment, but worship is just that's way too much, right? So no true angel won't be worship. It's not worship of angels. It's ministry of angels. And I love that statement that he's making there because, you know, throughout the church ages, it's to the angel of the church, to the angel of the church, to the angel of the church. So it is the ministry of angels, you know, all the way down to the seventh church age. And these angels were men that came to the earth with specific ministries to bring the church back to the word. Here, the next statement says, keep your skirts clean. It meant don't get involved in questionable things. Others will be involved, and you might be tempted to be involved. Or someone might even try to involve you, but stay clear of it all by steering a course away from it. So don't get involved in the questionable things. Keep your skirts clean. I love that statement there from the prophet. Also, he made the statement, God is not in it, but he is in his messenger. And he who would have the fullness of God would follow the messenger as the messenger is a follower of the Lord by his word. There's a direct scripture. I believe Jesus actually said it. They were asking, how can we do the works of God? How can we do the works of God? I mean, they're looking at Jesus' ministry and you know, just all the signs, wonders, and miracles that follow. And the question comes, how can we do the works of God? And the answer in scripture was given to him, if you want to do the works of God, believe on him whom he hath sent. That's actually how you do the works of God. Believe on him whom he hath sent. What a statement that came from our Lord Jesus. Believe on him whom he hath sent. That's how you do the works of God. Amen. All right. So God's not in it, but he's in his messenger, and he who would have the fullness of God would follow the messenger as the messenger is a follower of the Lord by his word. All right. Next statement says, you must separate yourself by death from your first denominational husband, because there isn't a one of them that can take all the word of God. Not one denomination can take all the word of God. All right, this last statement says this, God's way of fellowship, there's only one way. God provided the way of fellowship. We cannot educate ourselves into it. We cannot dress ourselves into it. You cannot denominate yourself into it. If you got to be born into it through the blood of Jesus Christ, takes you into the divine fellowship. Praise the Lord. All right. So we were on slide 7. And we kind of stopped midstream. This verse here that we are focusing on is verse 3 here in Ephesians chapter 5. It says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. And, you know, this is, again, just one of those things where we're talking about holiness. And holiness is not just in the way that we dress. Amen. Holiness is in the way that we live. It's our lifestyle. We live holy. Just bottom line, amen. Holiness just touches pretty much every part of our life. I don't drink because I want to live holy. I brought you all some scriptures last week that God told the children of Israel, the priests, as they were going to the temple, they weren't supposed to drink because God wanted to show there's a difference between holiness and unholiness. God wanted to show a difference. And you know, and I brought out the scriptures that, you know, it's not just when we go to church that we don't drink. We are the temple of God. Amen. So being the temple of God, we have to live this way 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Amen. We don't drink. We don't smoke. We don't defile the temple in any way. I also brought to you all the quote where Brother Branham was told by the angel of the Lord, You know, don't defile your body. Don't run around with women. Because don't defile your body because I got a work for you to do when you get older. And, you know, many people say, oh, that was for the prophet. No, no, no. I believe God was sharing his thoughts with all of us as to how he wants us to live. Amen. Not just with for the prophet. I mean, God wouldn't want us to defile our body either. You know, woman or man, don't defile your body. Don't be running around. Amen. We live holy. Glory to God. Glory to God. Ain't nothing but the truth anyhow. Amen. You know, and you know, these are decisions that we all made to live holy, to live righteous before God. Amen. We got a lot of sisters in our church, single sisters, and you know, but they ain't got no brother running up in their house. That ain't holy living. Amen. Amen. Ain't nobody sleeping in their bed. Praise the Lord. Right? I mean, you know, that's not how we live here. And I know other churches, they do all kind of crazy stuff. But not here. We live holy. Amen. Amen. Right? So God's called us to that, and that's a choice that we made. And we don't apologize for it. I know sometimes that's a little hard for people, but this is the life that he's calling us to. Amen. Jesus wasn't sleeping around. Hello? Jesus wasn't sleeping around. Amen. And he delivered a woman that was. Amen. Amen. He had a private conversation with her, but at the end of that conversation, she was free. Yeah. Told her that, you know, the one you're living with right now is not your husband. That one holy living. And that lady had gone to church. She knew the word. She had the word. She had all that, but her life wasn't measuring up with the word that she knew. Praise the Lord. But when some light shined in on that, then she could start walking in the right way that she's supposed to live. And I guarantee after that one experience, she didn't go back to living with no man. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. We thank the Lord for holiness. I was reading or just quoting this last week, and you're going to have to, I'm going to slide 7. I'm just going right to the actually, let me read that right there. Notice now, she has a sacred trust, a virtue that's been given her, trusted to her by the Lord. And this is the sisters have been given this, trusted to her by the Lord. God gave her that virtue just as it was in the Garden of Eden. She can say yes or no. She has a sacred trust of womanhood committed to her that she must not break. The womanhood I'm speaking of here is her conduct, her character around men. Amen. Her character around men. It is so important that a young lady understands that her character around men means so much. How she dresses means so much. Amen. Last week I was telling y'all how they used to have them fellowships where they would just bring all the skirts and sew up all the splits. We need to have more fellowships like that. Another thing that my wife used to do is she used to get with the sisters sometimes. She'd have a modesty class. And she would talk to the sisters about how to dress modest. I think that's important. I think it's good to have those refreshers. And sometimes people just didn't want to come. And the ones that really needed it the most are the ones that didn't want to come. Hello, somebody. Now, I don't really need to. Yeah, you do. You need to hear it. Let her talk to you about how you're supposed to dress. Yeah. Amen. Hello, somebody. I mean, people don't want to talk about girdles and things like that no more. But they needful. They're necessary. They're needful. Amen. And sometimes the older sisters have to kind of break those things down to you so you can understand. You know, our young sisters get older. You got to know how to take care of yourself before men. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Amen. That see-through skirts, mm-mm. Some of the stuff that they making nowadays, sisters just can't wear it. Just can't wear it. I mean, you see right through that. Don't wear that before no brother. Don't do that. And just ask somebody, you know, before you come out the house, can you see through this? Yeah, don't put it on. Take that. I know I may. It may look cute, but it's not holy. It ain't holy. Amen. It ain't holy, church. Anything, low cut. No, that's not holy. Tight, that ain't holy. Amen. Right? So we got to get back to holiness. Y'all know how, but man, yes, years ago, my God, you could tell the difference in the church. Did you go to a holiness church? You come in there like that if you want to, they'll have a sheet around you real quick, and you'll know that your dress ain't appropriate with that sheet. Now folk get offended, you know, but they used to have that. They'll wrap you up in a sheet so quick. Don't come in here like that. Amen. And we glory to God. We just need to stay with them holiness standards. Amen. And you know, sometimes we got people that come to church that don't know no better. You have grace for them. But you know, I thank God for just a sister come here one time and she noticed some things, came back different. Well, people know. People grow up on holiness, but they get away from it. But this is a church come remind us of it. I got some things I want to read here tonight, so let me just keep going. I mentioned this in the eulogy section of the Church Age book. I think when you pull this up, pull up the document, it should go directly to this area where I'm at. It says the Church Age book, chapter 7, Sardesian Church Age, the eulogy. I was mentioning this, and Brother Branham's quoting Revelation 3:4, thou hast a few names in Sardis which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk. They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. It says thou, what I did here with this quote, I just kind of shortened it just a little bit. Yeah, there we go. You can see where I shortened. I put those dots in front of it. I shortened it because just sort of for the second time. But I want to just kind of bring this out. This is what I was referring to. Thou, this church in Sardis, has a few people in you that are right and not wrong like the majority. These walk in clean garments, and they are worthy of me. Now, these people that were the true saints of God were walking, all pleasing unto the Lord. These people in Sardis, there is the true church. Their lives were all pleasing unto the Lord. This is something that we all should strive for. Is my life, God, all pleasing unto you? All pleasing unto the Lord, right? It says their garments were clean. You see, in those days, the garments would sweep along the road and pick up dirt and defilement. These were watching how they walked, so that they were not corrupted by the world. Can you just imagine intentional in the steps that they're taking, just being very careful that they're not corrupted by the world? This is the same way we have to walk. We're intentional with the steps that we take that, no, I can't go here, and I can't do that, and I can't do this, and I can't get involved in that conversation. I'm being intentional about how I walk, right? Because I don't want to get my garments dirty. Amen. He says, these were watching how they walked so that they were not corrupted by the world. They were in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. They were holy and without blame before him. Thus, they were fulfilling their purpose, for that is what Ephesians 1:4 says is the purpose of God for us. The purpose of God for us is that we should be holy and without blame before him. That's God's purpose for us, is that we would be holy and without blame before him. We gotta watch how we walk. I love lessons like this. I think is very important, especially for our younger people. You know, we choose to live this holy lifestyle, and like I said, it's not just in the way we dress, but you know, the scripture tells us fornication, uncleanness. Fornication is having sexual relations and not being married. The Bible speaks against that, right? We don't do that. All uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, my as become of saints. Don't let it, not one time. That's brother or sister Keeping yourself is extremely important. That's a part of holy living. Amen. Keeping yourself. Glory to God. You stay away from, everybody here, no matter who it is, brother or sister, somebody going to be trying you somewhere. Married or unmarried, somebody going to be trying you. Amen. But you got to make a choice. Glory to God. That fella be done said something slick, and you heard it. You heard it. But you know what you got? Sometimes you got to ignore it. What'd you say? Don't even ask him what he said. Amen. Just ignore it. Same thing with a young man, a young lady. If he done slipped something out on you so quick, and just keep on walking. Act like you ain't here. Because that is a trap from the devil. Amen. We got to choose to live holy. Every second of the day, we choose to live holy. Amen. Sisters have a very, very special role when it comes to God. I was looking at something here. I don't have the quote on this. But Brother Branham was kind of saying this in the Thyatiran Church. He was talking about a woman. Because of her being a byproduct from the man, she was put in a position where she could be seduced. She was put in a position where she could be seduced. And Brother Branham says, he made the statement, says, no other female in creation can be immoral. Now, I mentioned to y'all last week, for some reason, the world has tried to get us to adopt this thinking that it's okay for a woman just to run around with any man she wants to, and it's perfectly fine, because if a man does it, if man can get by doing it, why can't women get by and do it? Don't ever accept that, because God has placed a woman in a very, very special place. She's not supposed to, And actually, what the Bible called that man that do that, he's a whoremonger. And he ain't going to heaven living like that. A woman gets, they call them all kind of names, sluts and all kind of other stuff you get named. And that was never a good name to be named that. Amen. So don't let nobody get you to think that that's okay nowadays. It's not okay. God has a special place for the woman, a very special place. Brother Branham said that because of the way, that she came through, she was made from, she was a byproduct. It says, no other female in creation can be immoral. It says, but the human female may be touched at almost any time, and that weakness in her allowed Satan to seduce her by the way of the serpent. Mm-hmm. It says, and it has brought the woman to a very peculiar position before God in his word. He goes on to say this, she's a type of all things vulgar, foul, and loathsome on the one hand, and on the other hand, she is the type of all things clean and beautiful. See, a woman that can keep herself clean and beautiful and holy as a receptacle of the spirit and blessings of God. He says, on one hand, she is called the whore who's drunk with the wine of her fornications. On the other, she is called the bride of Christ. What a title she wears, the bride of Christ. On one hand, she is called Mystery Babylon, the abomination before God. And on the other hand, she is called New Jerusalem, our mother. On the one hand, she is so foul and wicked and lewd that she is summarily cast into the lake of fire as the only fit place for her. And he says, and on the other hand, she's exalted to heaven, sharing the very throne of God as the only place befitting such a queen. See, a woman carries a very, very unique place when it comes to the economy of God. And sisters, you all just be mindful of that. God has given you something special, and don't let anybody defile it. Don't let anybody defile it. Amen. Trust me, it means more when a man has to work for you, and that's in more ways than one. Don't be so easy. Don't be so easy. But make them work. Make them work like Jacob. Make that fellow work. If and I tell you, if he'll work for you, he'll stay with you. But you make it easy. Make it easy for him, then he might leave you and go find something else. Most guys gonna want to chase. They're gonna want to chase. But not so easy. Don't do that. And see, we brothers, I'm telling you, you're not going to get one of these sisters to be chasing you. That ain't going to happen around here. The Bible says, he that findeth a wife, but not she that findeth a husband. Hello, church. Let me read a little bit out of this invisible union of the bride. Brother Branham makes some statements here, and I want us to get this very, very important. It says, notice, now we find that her body is a bedding ground. Woman's body, it's a bedding ground. And see, she's given something that, it's through the woman that life comes. Not through the man, it's through the woman. It's 9 months of pregnancy and that baby getting life, the source of life from the mother, right? He says this, her body is a bedding ground. And therefore, it is a sacred trust not to defile that. Says, now I'm speaking, now bringing this to an illustration to show you where the church stands. Now he's using in this message, Invisible Union of Bride, he's using a natural and a spiritual type, and we got to catch both of them here. But on the natural, I want to make sure, young sister, and not only young sister, you keep yourself until you get married. God has given you this very sacred trust. And I want the young brothers to hear this as well. Don't you defile nobody's daughter. You keep yourself until God give you a wife. Amen. He says, therefore, it's a sacred trust to not to defile that. Now, I'm speaking now, bringing this to an illustration to show you where the church stands. I am not speaking of you women. It says, whatever you are, that is between you and God, or you men, but I'm speaking of the church in Christ. Now, he's making some statements here, and I love the way the prophet put that. When a minister has a teaching on this, there's people in here, different places in life. You can go back in your mind. You might say, oh, man, I did this, I did that. No, this is not to bring condemnation. What this is to bring freedom, right? And, you know, one of the other things that I love about this is that when you got a younger generation come up, they got to be able to hear this. They're innocent. And you want them to stay as innocent as they possibly can until they get married. Glory to God. I don't care if it's just one of them. You take time and sow in that one just to make sure. Because God sees them as something very special. Look at this now. He says, but I'm speaking of the church in Christ now. This she is given to bring forth life that only God himself can give. Her husband might be the germ bearer, but God has to produce the life. That is right. It has to come. All life has to come from God. Any life has to come from God. It's perverted, and that's what makes it sinful. But life has to come from God. He is the author of life. Now, she has a sacred. Now Brother Branham's saying that even when Eve made the comment that I got a man from the Lord, and it was Cain. She said, I got a man from the Lord. The reason that she can say I got a man from the Lord is because all life has to come from God. God had to give her the ability to give birth to Cain. God had to do that, right? So any child, no matter what the child is, you know, no matter who the parents are, any child born onto earth, it's a miracle for a child to be born. It's actually a miracle. What the woman's body goes through in order to bring forth life, I mean, at the time that child's coming forth, something happens to her body that don't happen at any other time besides when it's time to bring that child forth, right? So it's very, a woman is in a very unique position with God, very unique position. Listen, so he goes on here and says, I want to make three things here that she must not get away from. I'm speaking, keep the church in mind while I'm speaking this to the natural woman. As Paul is here in the 7th chapter of Romans, she has a sacred trust of virtue committed to her by her Lord, a certain virtue. Nothing else holds it but a woman. That is right. That is committed to her by God. She must not defile that virtue. Amen. And I not just speak this to sisters, I speak this to brothers. Don't try to defile somebody's virtue. Don't do that. Amen. You wait till you marry them. If they're that important to you, you get married to them. Praise the Lord. She must not defile that virtue. If she even does something wrong, she must confess that to her husband before he takes her and make it right. And I know sisters sometimes will look at that quote like, man, that just seems so unfair. But you've got to understand the role that you have. You're the only one that can bring forth this life. The husband can't do that. You're the one that can say yes or no. If you say no to a man and he forced himself on your guest and you call rape, guess who's going to jail? It's the man going to jail, right? You have something so sacred, something so sacred. And here, the prophet is kind of telling us here, if she does something, she must confess that before she actually is to get married. Now, I will actually say this too. I think that a real husband, real man, he doesn't have to do it. But I think when they're having serious conversations like that, it's okay for that man to talk about his past too. It's okay. And like I told you last week, if that man got a real problem, his wife need to know about it. Somebody need to pray with him over it. His wife need to know. Don't hide that from him, right? You got a real problem, you know. And Lord Jesus, let the woman know what she's getting herself involved with. She done opened up to you, right? Just be honest. Praise the Lord. Amen. Sometimes it'll make your marriage a little stronger when you can do things like that. I was just looking at a couple got married, and I heard their story. And, you know, the husband had done something in his past where he ended up in, he was in the military and he was running drugs in the military in Japan. He got busted in Japan and ended up spending about 2 years in jail. But when he got released from jail, he was actually, the same time he got released from jail was the same time he was being released to go home from the military. And so he was, you know, he said, I just kind of hold this and not tell nobody about it. Well, him and his wife one day had to go to Japan. He thought that thing was over. And he got to Japan, and as he was coming through customs, his wife went one way, he went another way. And his wife like, what in the world happened to my husband? Over all the way over in another country, what happened here? What is going on? Come to find out, he hadn't told her. He had been busted. And when he got busted in Japan, he was never supposed to step foot on the soil again. And so just be honest with people. Let people know what's going on, right? So they can kind of make their own decisions. You ain't got to trick nobody. Amen. All right, let me keep going. Now, sisters, understand that you, Brother Branham tells you have a responsibility to make sure that thing is known. She must confess that to her husband before he takes her and make it right, just the same as a church that was married to the law has to come also before Christ. Before the second marriage, she has to confess that. If she doesn't, she lives with her husband for 10 years and then confesses it. He has a right to put her away and marry another woman. That is scripture. Fornication is unclean living. Joseph, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. He was minded to put away privately, see, after he had already engaged to her. When you're engaged to her, as far as God is concerned, you're married to her. Now, that's another big one. Make sure before you get, you pop a question, will you marry me? And somebody done said yes. And then later on, you're like, no, I think I said that question, I said that a little too fast, and I want to back out. You married. You married. So you be careful about that. You pray about that and be sure that that's the person that you can't live without. Amen. Same thing with a young sister when she's accepting a proposal. Don't be all too excited. You know, somebody be done set you up. You know how they'll do it. Probably on a Sunday morning at church, everybody around and they drop to one knee and want to give you a ring. I just met you yesterday. don't fall for none of that. Don't fall for none of that. Brother Branham said that he was pulling this as a, when he's talking about this, it's a prophecy over the Last Day Church. Actually, you know what? Let me keep reading on this, and then I'll bring this back around. This he's using a type here, an example of the natural with the spiritual, and he's using Romans 7 Romans 7 is his type. This is where Brother Branham is pulling all this. It's from Romans 7. Now, we'll get back and we'll read that in a second, but let me finish reading this quote. It says, notice, now she has a sacred trust of virtue that has been given her, trusted to her by the Lord. God gave her that virtue just as it was in the Garden of Eden. She can say yes or no. She has a sacred trust of womanhood committed to her that she must not break. The womanhood I'm speaking of here is her conduct, her character around men, not letting every man. Now, this is, again, this is all part of holiness. This is all part of holiness and the way that a sister has to kind of govern herself. And I think, brothers, as we understand these things, we ought to respect our sisters. Amen. Amen. Respect them. If you see something going a little strange, call it out. Hey, sis, don't do that. Don't talk. Don't smile in that guy's face like that. This guy ain't up to no good. I mean, let's be our brothers and sisters keepers. Amen. We want to live holy. We want to walk holy. And notice what the scriptures say. Don't let it be named once among you. Let me put it this way. I don't get no joy in having to sit somebody down. No joy. I never get joy out of that. I have a responsibility, but I don't get joy out of that. I want to see people make it. But I tell you this, if I got to live holy, you also got to live holy. Amen. He goes on and says, look on these screens and see these movie stars kissing and hugging and slopping around over these women. And I was telling y'all last week, saints having a desire to want to go to the movies. No, not the saints. Not the saints. It was already bad enough that we let the thing come into our house. But now going out to the movies, no, not saints. That shouldn't be our desire. What you think you're going to get to heaven, there's going to be some movie screen that you can watch? No, we got to die to that type of stuff. We got to die to it. Die to the feelings, die to, you know, the connection to it. We got to die to it. Amen. Glory to God, church. But, you know, because what happens is that you get started with just a little something, and next thing you know, the devil done took you further and further and further. It used to be you ain't watching no cursing. Now they slip one little word in there, ain't that bad. Next thing you know, they start slipping all kind of other stuff in there. Sex scenes and everything. You can't have your kids watching that and trying to keep them living holy. No, you can't do that. You got to guard them from that. Amen, church. Praise the Lord. It's going to be hard to live holy, especially a young man. He can't get images like that in his mind. A lust spirit will come on him just like that. And let me tell y'all something, in case you didn't notice, certain things that a lady could look at that won't bother her, a man can't look at it because it will bother him. Amen. All right. Look on these screens and see these movie stars kissing and hugging and slopping around over these women. A woman does that is of a bad character. A woman that does that is of a bad character. She might be virtuous otherwise, but see in her heart, when those sex glands are in the lips, a man kisses a woman, he's actually potentially committed adultery. Sex glands are in the woman's lips and in the man's lips. He could kiss her on the hand. It wouldn't mix the sex glands, but the sex glands is in the lips. You see all this nonsense in the Hollywood today of all this slopping and loving around with women and so forth. The little girls looking at all that, no wonder our morals are rotten and decayed and filthy because it's put before the children. That is right. It has to be that way for the last days. So we got to guard our young people. We want to do fellowships and things like that, but there's certain places we ain't going and we ain't taking the young people there. Because some of these places is just the environment is just too bad. Actually, all environments to me is bad, but some of them just way too bad. We can't release our young people into environments like that. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Ram saying, now keep the church in mind. She's kissing and slopping and mixing around and everything else but the word. The church is kissing and slopping with everything but the word of God. It says, let the devil and education and scientific searches so forth, when scientific education and everything is absolutely contrary to God, the whole system of civilization that we have now is absolutely antichrist. Educational system is antichrist. Civilization is antichrist. It is against God. You say against civilization, God will have a civilization one of these days that won't have any death associated into it. This modern civilization come by Satan, I will prove that to you if the Lord willing tonight, out of the Bible, all these things are of Satan. Our new civilization will have none of this in it. She has this sacred womanhood. Put her in an environment where that sacred trust will remain and not be broken. We want to keep our sisters in an environment like that. I want to run every fella out of here that ain't got the right intentions. Amen. Sometimes I see people come through this door and, Lord Jesus. And you just got here and you want to be baptized. Okay, I baptize you. But I like to always ask before I baptize them, just tell me a little bit about your testimony. How'd you come to this spot where you want to be baptized? What happened? What change happened? I want to know. Now see, sometimes what folk done did, and I know folk get coached before they come here. Y'all, I know what I'm talking about. Folk get coached before they come here. Okay, do this and do that and do this and say this and say that. Now look, I've seen this happen way too many times. It's happened to me too many times for me not to learn from it, right? But I've seen it where, okay, all right, I'm going to baptize you. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do all the things that you want done. But I need you to understand something, because I had one brother do this one time. He had that thing worked out. He had it all worked out. Before you know it, the words start coming. And his plan got exposed. It was gone. Amen. Look here. You're not going to fool God. You ain't going to fool God. Look, God got a way that things supposed to be done. It's a holy way. Right? And we got to walk according to this word, no matter what. Amen, church. Right? But I done seen too much of it. I've seen it. And my job is to make sure, especially our young ones that's coming up, hey, y'all realize you got something special. Don't let nobody defile it. And young man, young brothers, don't you go out there defiling anybody. Keep yourself until you get a wife. Young sisters, keep yourself until God sends you a husband. Amen. Brother Branham was using Romans 7. I want to read from there a couple scriptures here. Romans 7. He was using this type and invisible union of the bride. And he was just bringing this out. And I thought it was really nice. Romans 7, I'm actually start at verse 1. All right. It says, know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. For if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. So Brother Branham was just pulling that, and as he was talking, you know, this type of, I want to talk natural things, but I'm also speaking to the church on the spiritual side. Saying that, you know, we got to be dead to our denominational husband if we want to come alive in Christ. We got to be dead to that. And he was just bringing out the type, because even, you know, as we just read there, even a woman that she get married, but she get divorced, as long as her husband is still living, God sees them as still married together. It's only the vow is until death do we part. Amen. So you better know what you're getting yourself involved with. Go through a real courtship process and understand what you're getting involved with, because the vow is until death do we part. Amen. It's not when things get bad, I take off and run. Mm-mm. It's until death do we part. And God holds you responsible for the vow that you took. Amen. All right. Let us go on a little further here. Amen. I want to read another scripture out of Hebrews 12, verse 6. You know, we're living in a world where the Bible actually promised that as it was in the days of Noah, so should being a son of man, as it was in the days of Lot. And what you got to understand, in the days of Noah, there was a big problem with marriage and divorce. Big, big problems with that. And that's why it's so important, young people, just be prayerful, be careful, be sober when you're approaching courtship, and understand the devil is after marriages. The devil's after marriages. He wants you to be a statistic, right? But you have to be very, very careful when you're getting involved in things like that. There's so much that's involved in just maintaining these things. It's so much involved. I remember somebody told me, marriage is a full-time job. You got to work. You got to work. Amen. It ain't easy. You got to work. Just like a person get up and go to work every day, you got to be willing to work when it comes to your marriage. Amen. It's a full-time job. All right, here. Hebrews 12, verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye without chastisement, wherefore, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father's spirits and live? They verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. The reason that he chastens us is that he wants us to be partakers of his holiness. Holiness is a lifestyle. It's a commitment that we make on a daily basis that we're going to live this way. Amen. It says, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth. It's going to produce something. It yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the heads which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet. See, it goes right back to how I started. You got to watch how you walk. Be careful. Don't get yourself involved in this and involved with that. Watch how watch where you're stepping at. Watch what you're getting yourself involved in. Amen. Glory to God, church. I'll say this too. Certain cities are probably not good for you to go on vacation in. The cities carry spirits. Certain cities you don't plan to do a vacation there. Amen. It carries a spirit. You got to watch how you step. All right, church. It says, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down in the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men. And I love this one. Holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. And that was a serious thing that he did by selling his birthright, there being the firstborn. There was certain blessings that went with being the firstborn. There's a certain right to carry on the family name, that firstborn. Something happened to the father, you become the head of the family. And he sold it and gave it up. I mean, people give up God for a lot of things nowadays. I'll just be honest. There's people that don't come to church right now because they want to live unholy. They want to live unholy. They want to live unrighteous. And I'm going to tell you, from my perspective, I'd rather you not do that here because you hinder the blessings of God on the other people. I respect you for not doing that here. However, I also say, get your life right. Get your heart right with God. You see, I'm going to tell you, when you get to the other side, you're going to realize what, you know, when all of this is over, you're going to realize that wasn't worth it. That relationship you're chasing, it ain't worth it. Just the scripture that's keep coming back to me. Here we have no continuing city. You know, friendships don't last. Relationships don't last. Ain't nothing you can have on this earth that's going to last, that's going to be eternal, except your relationship with Christ. I mean, you can get a new car and be all happy about it. 2 years from now, 3 years from now, you're ready to get another one. Why? Because there's no continuing city. You can get yourself a nice house today. I mean, man, I'm excited. Give yourself about 15 years. You'll be talking about selling to get yourself something else. We have no continuing city. The clothes that you buy, you happy about wearing that outfit, but you know what? You're gonna be tired of it after a while. And it's going to get to the back of your closet. Barely seeing anymore. I mean, we have no continuing city. The only thing eternal is Christ. So he's what's worth living for. This last verse, lest there be any fornicator, profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. You don't want to end up in a situation like that. I encourage you. Holiness is so important. Holiness, the way you talk. Holiness, the way you live. Holiness, the way you dress. Holiness, the way you keep yourself. Holiness in every area of your life. Holiness, because holiness without no man gonna see God. Absolutely important. I want to bring this last quote into place. Brother Branham says this in a message, to be certain of God. But you see, the king has said this is all right because his wife thought it was all right. And he's talking about Ahab and Jezebel. And it caused a moral decay. And then they thought because they were prosperous, no wars and so forth, that was a sign that God was with them. Prosperity is not always a sign that God is with you. Many times that's deceiving. It don't mean God's with you just because, you know, you got that job. That job might be taking you further away from God. Right? That God was with them. Prosperity is not always a sign that God is with you. Many times that's deceiving. The rain falls on the just and the unjust, but it's by their fruits they are known. And so this nation was really corrupted, and God had sent judgment upon it. all the preachers that bent under the heavy load because the members of the church had forced them to do things. I feel sorry for a preacher that's got no more God about him than the let his congregation dictate to him. All right, and get him off in a rut like that. I believe that we need preachers that's men, that's God-fearing, God-sent servants, who's not afraid to call black black and white white. The gospel's been handled too much now with kid gloves on. We need some old-fashioned preaching like Billy Sunday and John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was a preacher that when they walked into his church, first time this lady come to church, and they came late to service that day. You know, Herodias and Herod, they came to church late, and they walking in, and John the Baptist changed his whole sermon as soon as they came in. It's not lawful for you to have her. Oh, my. Boy, that thing cut that lady to the core. She couldn't forget that service. So I'm going to get this fella back. And she waited for the right time. She asked for his head on a platter. Brother Branham said, we need preaching like that. It'll keep the church clean. Amen. Says John the Baptist, some of them old-fashioned hellfire and brimstone messages, again, back to the people. I know it's not popular. So when they got away from that, you see what a condition the nation's got in. It takes that, brother. And all the pastors had given in. So they had a social gospel, no doubt. But there was one who didn't give in. There was a little old prophet in the land in that day. He didn't bow down to any of the idols, for he knew that Jehovah was a holy God. And he required holiness and cleanliness and decency. Jehovah requires this. Amen. Jehovah requires it. Glory to God. But he knew that Jehovah could not change. And if Jehovah to bring the children out of Israel had to cleanse them and sanctify them, and when they walked disorderly according to his commandments, he placed judgment upon them. He knew that Jehovah was the same yesterday, today, and forever. Therefore, he would not give in. Oh, Jezebel hated him, and all of her company hated him. But God loved him and respected him because he never let down on the word of God. He stayed with it. Church, we got to do the same thing. We cannot let down on the word of God. We got to stay with it. You know, and I know people get caught in things. People get caught in sin. Things happen. And God's got grace. But the one thing I will tell you is that even with his grace, we're not going to let grace become a disgrace. Amen. When you get caught in something, all you do is repent, make that thing right with God, and then you keep moving on. But it's not going to be no, well, I made this mistake, and now just accept all, you know, no. You got to make that thing right. You got to start following the word of God. Amen. Glory to God. It ain't going to be none of that. We're not going to let down the standards, no matter who it is. We won't let down. We all are required to live like this. Brother Ram said, God, give us more Elijahs in this cruel, evil day of corruption that we're living in. That's not a scared to preach what's the truth, what the Bible says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And that's what he said, you must be cleansed from your sins by the blood of the Lord Jesus. I say amen. Praise God. Yeah, I believe in grace. I believe in grace, but we're not going to make grace a disgrace. Amen. I feel like we all, if we had to stand before God, we couldn't stand before him very well in our own holiness. But we sure depended on his holiness. And I tell you, we all got something that we had to repent of, everybody here. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We realize that. But I tell you what, we ain't got to keep sinning. Amen. We ain't got to keep sinning. So we repent, we make things right, and then we choose to live this lifestyle. God, I'm going to live holy. I'm going to live right. And sometimes it's not, that's why you need the Holy Ghost to help you keep yourself. The Holy Ghost will be a no on the inside. No, don't get involved in that. No, don't send that email. No, don't respond. No, no. The Holy Ghost will help you with all of that. Amen. Glory to God. We want to be kept. We want to be kept by Him. Amen. All right, church, let's pray. Father, we are appreciative of the word of the Lord. We realize, God, that it requires something of us, Lord, in order to make it to heaven. Holiness without no man will see God. We won't enter in. So, God, we got to live, and not just in the way we dress, but, Lord, our everyday living, what we say out of our mouth has got to be holy. God, the way we dress does have to be holy. We got to keep ourselves unspotted from sin, Lord, and how the devil would just certainly try to come and defile our sisters as well as our brothers. God, they got to choose to live holy. Husbands and wives, choose to live holy. Daily, God, we make these choices. So, Father, I pray that you would give us strength, Lord, to walk according to your word. We want to keep our garments clean. We want to watch how we're walking. Be careful where we're stepping. Lord Jesus, that we want to live in an environment that gives us the greatest possibility of pleasing you. I pray, oh God, that these won't just be words that are going one ear and out the other, but Lord, let it be something that becomes real, becomes part of who we are. From the youngest to the oldest, we commit ourselves to you, God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Our announcements. Sunday morning prayer service from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. here at the church. Sunday morning service at 10:30. We will have a minister here this Sunday, Brother Brandon Sincola. He's the associate minister there at Literal Life Tabernacle with Brother Paul LaFontaine, and he and his wife are visiting, and he's going to be preaching for us on Sunday morning, so we look forward to that. Also, our streaming will continue through Twitter, Facebook, as well as our church website. If you don't have the social media, then you can go right to our church website, john423.org. At service time, the streaming will happen when service time starts. And don't forget, this Friday at 7:30 p.m., we're going to need everybody to be here on time, because we do have a time limit here at the school. But we have a business meeting that we will, our church annual business meeting, we will be conducting that on this Friday. So 7:30 p.m. is when we'll get started, and we look forward to that. All right, our giving through Cash App and Zelle, that's what we encourage. We do receive PayPal, but we ask that if you could just do it through Cash App or Zelle, because PayPal does take fees. Zelle is giving at john423.org, and Cash App is $SpiritandTruthT. Also, mail, Spirit and Truth Tabernacle, P.O. Box 222-462, West Palm Beach, Florida 33422. We receive mail as well, so God bless you. All right, anybody, before we leave tonight, have a testimony or a prayer request that they'd like to share? Before we leave tonight. Yes, sis. Snow tube.
I just thank God for Ashley didn't have any issues with the ear whatsoever. Anything else about it.
Amen. Oh, the Lord is good. Amen. Amen. Certainly thank God for giving you a wonderful birthday there. Amen. Anybody else? Yes, sis.
I have a praise report. My student loan was forgiven.
Y'all got to get me the hookup. Who do I talk to? Praise God. Woo, woo. $300,000 for giving. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Jesus. God is a good God. Amen. You had something else you were going to share? Okay, where is the potluck going to be? Potluck at Sister Virginia's house on Sunday after church. Amen. Praise the Lord. Everybody's invited. She just wants you to bring something. That's all. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Praise report, prayer request. Okay. My God. My. Yeah, I still owe some student loan debt. I'm trying. I don't know. I can't get in contact with nobody. Lord have mercy, but I done heard these two testimonies that God perfected in three, so Lord, let me be next. Amen. Glory. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for just blessing our sisters. Lord, Sister Virginia, just being able to travel, and also Sister Ashley and the rest of the family travel there to Tennessee, and just allowing them to go and come back safely and just enjoy themselves. Father, we just appreciate you watching over them. Just blessing her celebration. Thank you, Lord, for this tremendous blessing that you just gave to Sister Sherelle. $300,000 of debt forgiven, Lord. That's exceeding abundant above all we could ever ask or think. How can we doubt you, Lord? We when we see you doing things like this right before our eyes, and we just appreciate it, oh God, and just ask, Lord, that you would just continue to move in the lives of the people. And we trust, oh God, that as we prepare to leave this place tonight, that we go, Lord, just reflecting on what you wanted to speak to us, and God, that we would make the decision, God, to live lives that are pleasing in thy sight. And we trust, God, that you would keep us until we're able to come back together again on Friday night as we prepare for the business meeting. God, speak to us. And Lord, just as we just navigate and walk through just what the past year was like and just what we got coming up in the future, Lord, you be at the forefront. You lead us, you guide us, you direct us. And God, may you get all the glory and all the honor from all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you. We'll dismiss you. We'll be back on Friday night, 7:30 for our business meeting. Brothers will come at this time to dismiss you. God bless you.